In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, a lot can happen in a week. As the events unfolded in the life of Jesus, the Sunday of Holy Week, Jesus is being hailed as a king riding into Jerusalem. And by the end of the week, he'll be dead, lying in a tomb. So what happens in a week? I don't know the history of how these things come together for our use in worship, but you'll notice on our insert today where the name says the Sunday title for the day, it's called Palm Sunday and also Sunday of the Passion. It goes way back that today in the church year is not just Palm Sunday only, but it is also Sunday of the Passion. It's the Sunday where we have the very long reading of the entire Passion account this year from Matthew's Gospel. Now, like I said, I don't know the exact history, but I think this came to practice that there would be the entire reading of the Passion of Christ the Sunday before Holy Week, that this would be on the minds of Christians this week. Because otherwise, Christians usually come on Sundays. And unless they're able to attend the midweek services like Monday, Thursday, or Good Friday, they would come one Sunday, Jesus riding on a donkey, and the following Sunday, he's risen from the dead. The point is that there's a lot in this week in the life of Jesus. So let's set the stage of what was going on the Sunday before the crucifixion of Jesus about 2,000 years ago. The occasion for Jesus to be in town, in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, was the resurrection of Lazarus. That was the text from last week, you remember? When Jesus said they were going to Bethany, Thomas basically said, well, if you're going, we're going too, because we might as well die as well. Thomas said this because just a few months earlier, they were in Jerusalem. And when they were there, those in Jerusalem picked up stones to try to kill Jesus, but he escaped their grasp. Thomas knew going to Bethany, so close to Jerusalem, would likely mean his death. Now that's compounded by the timing of events, because it wasn't just the city of Jerusalem. This all happens right before the celebration of the Passover, when Jews from all over the region all come to Jerusalem for this feast. So the reason that there's crowds there is because they're there for this feast. Now, Thomas is sure that this will be the end because when they were there for the Feast of Dedication, they all wanted to stone him. And this is a much bigger celebration than the Feast of Dedication. So what do you think is going to happen this time? So that's the backdrop. After raising Lazarus from the dead, John chapter 12 records that Martha made supper for Jesus in Bethany, and this is where Mary anoints Jesus' feet with the expensive perfumes. The very next day is the triumphal entry. Now this is the great ironic part, that Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. And it says that the crowds that were there for the feast heard what he had done for Lazarus. So that is why they go out to meet him. And they begin crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. But they're acknowledging Jesus as their king. And they're crying out, Hosanna, which means save us. They're calling out to Jesus to save them. And that means, in this moment at least, many of the Jews gathered for the Passover in Jerusalem are recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. They were looking to Jesus as the promised one of the Old Testament who would come and save them. There are so many ironies in this account. First of all, we should recognize the term triumphal entry is in reference to a practice that when a king would go off to war, he would lead his military with him. Once they defeated the enemy, the king would ride back into town, and the people of the city would throw this giant parade for their king, who was victorious in war. And they would lay palm branches all over the road, and they'd wave palm branches in the air. The palm branch was a symbol of joy and celebration, especially celebration of victory. So the irony here is that Jesus is riding a colt, a lowly donkey, not known as a fierce war horse. And the people are welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem as if he's the king of the city, that he has just won the battle. Now, there's some debate about these crowds, that some commentators say that the crowds who shout Hosanna on Palm Sunday are the same crowds that shout Crucify Him on Good Friday. That's possible. We can't be completely sure about that. But the other question is, what exactly were these crowds acknowledging about Jesus in the triumphal entry? They're saying, save us. They're quoting from the Old Testament. Were they saying that Jesus is the Son of God who comes to be the atoning sacrifice and save us from our sins? Or did the news of Lazarus rising tell them that that Jesus would be their leader and he would save them from Roman oppression? Were they hoping Jesus to be their military commander? That latter possibility seems rather likely. But the thing to ponder about this is this, that even though the crowds might not know exactly what they're saying or know exactly what they're doing, the scriptures tell us that in their doings, they are fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures. That Jesus is, in fact, king of this holy city. And not on a war horse, but on a donkey. He comes not to conquer armies, but to conquer death. He comes to save, but not from earthly oppressors, but from sin and the devil. That his triumph is found not in killing, but in being killed. Everything from this triumphal entry is true, but in the most ironic way. When we see the events of Palm Sunday and the events of Holy Week through the eyes of faith, we see what is really going on here. That this man is the Son of God, and his glory is found not in the riches of the world. He does not need gold or riches or even the common war horse. That those gathered there might not even realize the significance of the words with which they meet him. But for us, Hosanna means more than save us from those who oppress us. It means save us from our sins. It means save us from the wrath that we deserve because of our transgressions. It means save us from our impending death. It means save us from the attacks of the evil one. And that's what Jesus is doing, riding a donkey that Sunday into Jerusalem. He's riding into a place where he would offer up his very own life in the place of sinners. The place where Christ would take the penalty for sinners and would redeem sinful humanity back to God by giving us his righteousness and his holiness, that we would be one with him. The hymns we sing on Palm Sunday are always the same hymns. There are three hymns specifically written for this occasion, and I think my favorite of these three is our closing hymn for this day, which goes like this. Ride on in majesty, in lowly bump, ride on to die. O Christ, thy triumphs now begin o'er captive death and conquered sin. This hymn wonderfully captures the irony of the scriptures. Because some majesty this is, to be riding a donkey and receiving the misunderstood praises of the people, and to ride on to what? In lowly bump, ride on to die. What kind of majesty is this? What kind of triumphal entry celebrates the death of a king? The triumphal entry is supposed to celebrate the victory of the king, but to Jesus, his death is the victory. Because it's in his death that Jesus wins the victory over sin, death, and the devil. Because in offering up his own life, he wins satisfaction for all your sins and thereby wins you back. To Jesus, his death is victory because then he saves you from death. To Jesus, his death is victory because by it he guarantees that you will never have God's wrath for sin laid upon you. That is why this entry into Jerusalem is a triumphal one. Ride on in majesty, and lowly bump, ride on to die. Bow thy meek head to mortal pain, then take, O God, thy power and reign. The victory celebrated outside Jerusalem is not just Jesus' victory, it is your victory. Because when the Son of God descends to mortality and subjects himself to death, then he grants you eternity. Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He who is greatest of all, Jesus, comes in lowliness and humility. The very Son of God comes despised and forsaken. He comes rejected and crucified. And he comes this way for you. This is because Jesus knows the only way for you and I to have life is for him to have death. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Our Lord comes, and he comes here in his word, and he comes here in his supper to give his gifts of life, salvation, and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.